The following is presented to you by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
All right, we're going to get started, so go ahead and find a place if you could, please. We want to take just a couple minutes to update you on a few things. We do this maybe twice or three times a year. Just to keep lines of communication open with you, we're an elder-led church, but we value you and the congregation. We value your input. We just want to keep the lines of communication open. So that's why we do this. By the way, we do have children's equipping hours, so if your kids need to go to class, they can do that. I think our high schoolers, our junior hires in here as well. They're in here? Yeah, they're in here. Okay, so junior high and high school are in here, and then our younger than junior high are up in their classrooms, so you can send them there if you'd like. Let me just highlight a few things calendar-wise for this coming semester that we want to make you aware of. We have our theology class that's going to continue. We've been working our way through the exposition of Genesis 1 to 11, and in the first semester, we made it through Genesis 1, so we'd love to have you join us for the rest of that. We'll see how far we get, but that's on Wednesday nights at 7. Our Awana ministry has continued as well, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, so you can bring your kids to Awana and then stay adults for the theology class. So that's going to continue as normal. Our women's training and men's training is going to continue this semester. Those are meeting once a month for each of those events. So we're actually studying basically the same material right now. So women, you're going to be continuing your study of biblical doctrine, and next class is January 9. That's this Saturday. If you're not able to do the assignments, that's okay. Just come to the class and participate and be a part of that training. Men's training as well. We're going to be doing select portions of the book Biblical Doctrine, and we're working through chapter 6 on January 17, 2 weeks from today. So, guys, we'd love to have you join us. Again, just a reminder, this is not just for people heading into ministry or leadership. It's really just another way to equip the men and women of our church. So we hope you can join us for those. And then our adult equipping hour class will take place again next Sunday on the 10th. Pastor Joe is going to be teaching through parenting through all the stages of all of life stages. So that'll be a six-week class that starts a week from today during this hour. And so particularly if you have kids, we encourage you to join us for that class. And Joe's just going to walk through some basic parenting principles that I think will be a real encouragement to you. So our junior hires have snow camp coming up, not this coming weekend, but the next weekend. So make sure you see our junior high leaders for that. And then the end of this month, we have a fifth Sunday fellowship. We'll tell you more about that as it gets a little bit closer. Looking a little further down the road, we have a college and career retreat coming up on February 5 through 7. That's for our college and career age young people. And so if you have anyone in that category, love to have them join us for that weekend. And then we also have a seminar coming up, I think. We haven't heard officially on this, but another TES seminar coming up in February, kind of a Friday night, Saturday deal, where we'll be looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Again, that's all the TES campuses together, and we'll be together for the Sermon on the Mount topic. We'll get you more information as that comes. And then some people have wondered about membership and baptism, when the next opportunity for that will be. We have Session 4 Equipping Hour classes starting on February 21. That'll be your next opportunity to become a member. If you're interested or just finding out more about our church, there's a 6 or 7 week class that starts February 21. And Bob will also be teaching a discipling class or discipleship class during that time as well. So that's just a little bit down the road. One thing we want to let you ladies know about is a women's mini retreat. It's a one-day retreat coming up here March 27 for a good chunk of that Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's not an overnight thing. It's just a one-day retreat, and so you can see our ladies' ministry if you're interested in that, but just another great opportunity to be around the women of our church and to be equipped, so we look forward to that. Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday services are coming up. And then we have a conference here on April 24 and 25. We tried to do this last April, but that got shut down because of COVID. And so we are going to try and do that again this coming April. It'll be a Saturday-Sunday conference on the doctrines of grace. And that's going to be done by our in-house pastoral staff. We might have one person, Dr. Richard Vargas, may join us for that as well. One person outside of our church preaching at that. So just a one thing for you to kind of have on your radar, that we do have a Equipping the Saints conference coming up. We just want to remind you as well of our seminary, Expositor Seminary. Classes resume this week. We have potentially some other students coming in August. We've been talking to a young man in Alabama, another young man in New York, and someone over on the east side of the state that's interested in possibly starting in August as well. So just excited how the Lord is working in the Expositor Seminary. I encourage you to pray for these students as they begin, as they study, some ways you can encourage them there. Drop a card in the mail. If you're able to help them with some tuition costs, I know they would appreciate that. Even just having them over for dinner would be a great blessing to them. And I'm sure they'd love for you to watch their kids as well, so they can go out on a date. Someone's applauding that. So encourage you to maybe open your homes to our students. We love TES. We love our students. And we're just grateful for the opportunity to partner with this ministry. I did want to give you a brief financial update. It's kind of a mid-year report on where we're at financially. Sometimes people are just curious about where we're at, and so I wanted to let you know that at this point, our budget need about 4 months into the fiscal year is almost $144,000. Year to date, it's been $141,000, so you see we're a little bit short. It's kind of new for us. We haven't been in that territory before. We're typically giving is usually ahead, but just because of the dynamics and the circumstances of COVID and everything, we are running just a little bit behind, but also very grateful for the Lord's provision and grateful for his taking care of us financially. Cash on hand, $349,000. We have in the general fund, there's another $123,000 in the capital fund. Our benevolence offering was a little over $13,000, and then the benevolence fund is at about $8,000. So total cash on hand, just shy of $500,000. So the Lord is very good to us, very thankful for your continued generosity in giving. So I'm very thankful for that. Wanted to give you just a few property updates. There's been some questions just about some various projects. And the first one is just the kitchen here. Still looks like a 1970s kitchen, so we want to remedy that, get rid of the yellow countertops and make it look a little nicer. So there's been a team that's kind of been working to put some things in place there to make that look a little nicer. And so that's going to happen soon. Hopefully over the next couple months that project will be completed. And then there's also a desire to kind of just fix up the lower level. Just as things open back up and people come back, we probably need some more seats, and so we want to make that lower level a little more conducive to just aesthetically making it a little bit nicer. So those will be some updates that we'll probably follow over the next few months as well. And then one thing we did want to just mention to you, something that we're looking into. Nothing's been set in stone, but we've had a number of questions about parking lot. We've had some people come and we've heard that they've left because they couldn't find a parking spot, which is the last thing that we want to happen. COVID slowed things down a little bit, and so there's some weeks where the parking lot's really full, there's some weeks where it's not very full, but overall we've noticed that we have some limited parking out there. And as you can see in here, it's also fuller, and so the elders have spent a lot of time just thinking through how do we deal with this. And we don't have a lot of great answers, but we wanted to just kind of update you on some things that we're thinking. So kind of the big picture is that if we were ever to expand any type of seating arrangement here at our church, in terms of adding another auditorium or a bigger seating capacity somehow, we are limited entirely by parking. We can't do anything until there's more parking here. And so there's been some discussion if the Lord would ever bless financially to put another auditorium over there in the lower level parking lot. That's obviously a large expense. We're not even considering that right now. But there's room over there for maybe a 450 seat auditorium. But before we could even consider anything like that, we have to solve the parking problem. And So some things that we've thought about if we weren't going to go that direction, we thought about a satellite campus, but really we don't want to do that. We thought about going to two services, but we really don't want to split our church up into two bodies, if at all possible. We have very informally looked at some other properties. You maybe heard that the art van place up there went out of business. So someone just looked, and it was only $10 million for that building. So, you know, chump change. But that really just shows you that it's really not feasible for us to probably buy another facility. We have also considered shuttling people from the youth building or the school up the street. It might work, and maybe it will come to that. We also recognize that probably the last thing you want to do is go drive to another place, get out of your car, and step into another car, and then drive over here. If it comes to that, maybe we'll do some of that, but it's not ideal. In particular, we've had a number of questions about why didn't we buy the house right next to our church when it was for sale. It was just for sale here a month ago or so. We did look into buying it. So we did some just quick checking with our architect and the costs. And so, first of all, it would have cost us about $400,000 to buy that house, level it, put in a parking lot for about 35 spots, which is, you know, $11,000, $12,000 a spot, which really, it's a lot of money for 35 spots, and it really doesn't solve anything. It doesn't get us much more parking. So the next thing we did was we thought, well, if the Lord continues to bring people and we do need another parking lot, the only place we could put it is down in the recreation area, down the hill, back here. We are landlocked. The only place here on our current grounds near this facility would be down in the recreation area. So we have pursued at least getting some ideas of what that would take. We had a team in place even last year that was helping us kind of navigate some of that. Just over the last couple months, we got a rough estimate, and this is super, super rough, of what it would cost to put in a parking lot in the recreation area. And we found, barring major things, it'd be about $400,000 to put in a 122-spot parking lot down there. So you can see financially, it's about a fourth of the cost of buying the house next door, and it gives us about four times as many spots. Just please hear me. We are not moving ahead with this in terms of doing it. We're simply needing to explore whether this is even a possibility. So please understand, nothing is set in stone. We're not doing it. We would even need your input to do that and affirmation from the body to do that. But we are at a point where we believe that we need to see if it's even a possibility. And so in order to do that, we need to pay some architectural and surveying fees, about $8,000 to $10,000, to just see if that's even a feasible option for us. So that's what we would like to do at this point. Just get those surveys, figure out, could it even be done? We have to contact DEQ because there's a creek down there. So there's a number of hurdles that we are not even sure if this is a possibility, but we won't know if we don't ask the question and we don't get some input. So that's kind of where we're at. We're thinking that we would look into that. You say, why 122? Why would you need all of that? And that would take up most of that area. I'll show you a picture here in just a moment. We would need all of that because, again, just thinking long term, if we were to put an auditorium over there, 400, 450 seat auditorium, those parking spots go away. So we lose all of those spots. So then you're down to just the upper lot, which is 100 spots. And then based on the numbers that we were given by the architect, a new 450 seat auditorium would require a total of 200 spots. That's one spot for every 2.25 seats. So I don't know who's sitting on a quarter of a seat right now, but that's the numbers they gave us. One parking spot for every 2.25 seats. So basically we need 200 spots. So the 100 up here plus 122 in the rec area potentially would give us what we would need. We understand this impacts day camp. We're fully aware of that. We've talked to day camp committee. We're working through some ways if this would even happen. To mitigate that impact, but it would just affect some of the things happening in that field down there. It doesn't affect day camp beyond that, and we would continue to support day camp fully, but there are some issues there that we are willing to work through with them. There would need to be a covered walkway constructed from the rec area. Here's a picture. Again, this is just a picture. Okay, this is not happening. This is just a picture of something that could happen if this is what was allowed, was approved, the township allowed it. All of those things that we have to jump through to make it happen. Again, we're not pursuing it at this point, but we're just pursuing, is it even a possibility? There's 122 spots right there. So let me stop. Do you have any questions on that? And don't ask me any question about what that parking lot's going to actually do, because I can't answer those questions. So if you have a question about why or how we came to this, you can ask that, but I can't answer any specifics about the actual lot itself. So let me enter. Yeah, Nate. Can you get two cookies? Maybe a cookie and a half. I'm not sure we can spare the two cookies.
1.25.
Well, yeah, 1.25. Yeah, yeah. One parking spot per 1.25 cookies. Thanks. Good question, Nate. Katie. In the archery field? No, yeah, there's a field way over there that'd be a long walk through the woods. We're not talking that field. We're just talking the one down here. So, other questions? We want to entertain any questions, thoughts you might have. Again, at this point, we're just pursuing, is this even an option? We'll keep you updated on this as we progress. I just wanted to let you know as well that the live stream system has been upgraded. There were some issues with that being maybe not quite as seamless as we wanted, so that's been upgraded. So if you are not able to join us on a Sunday morning, that live stream system should be much better quality now and a little better sound quality. And just want to remind you as well of our Facebook Live sessions on Thursdays. Our pastors, Joe, Bob, and I do a pastor's talk on Thursdays at noon on Facebook Live, and there's about 36 of those archived right now. You can go back and watch those, and we'll start those back up again this week. All right, well, just a couple things here, and we'll wrap it up. Missions update, Tim and Michelle George, our missionaries in Mozambique, are home on furlough, and they'll be here. John, is it till July or August that they're going to be here? Okay, so they're here for the next 6-7 months, so we're going to try and have them here at some point, and just pray for them as they're home on furlough. And then Kurt and Christine are here. Kurt, come on up here. Kurt and Christine are home for just a little while from Croatia on medical leave. And I wanted to give Kurt just a couple moments just to update you on them and their family. So, Kurt, brother, good to see you.
Thanks, Todd. I'm nervous about this like I've never been before for an update. I don't know why. I think it's because it's been kind of a whirlwind of a transition for us. And beginning of December, Christine had health symptoms like she's never had before. They've really increased this year. We've known about these symptoms for a couple of years. They first started happening 7 years ago, so it's not new, but the symptoms have increased so that we just felt like we needed to deal with it, and our ministry partners were completely supportive of that, and we appreciate you for your gracious response and your prayers along the way. Her pain has also increased, and we've had many appointments already. Well, not many, but we will have many appointments. We've had a few already to try and diagnose fully what's going on. We likely think it's endometriosis by symptom, but to go in with a laparoscopic surgery, you have to get an initial appointment, which isn't set until April. So we're hoping for some cancellations before then. Again, this is... I guess it's really hard to just be patient and wait for those kind of appointments when we came home hoping for something a little sooner. And also, not just the health concerns, but just for the general support and love and care from family and friends and our church family. So thank you. I also wanted to give an update on Bielovar. Our threefold focus is evangelism and winning the lost for Christ. Put the Bible in front of them with Bible studies and to plant a church. And I think that we probably would have began Sunday morning services on December 13th, except for the Lord had other plans to bring us back here. And we trust him in that. The Lord doesn't take breaks from what he desires in his ministry fields. And He's not delayed in his plans. In evangelism, we continue with our radio ministries. We're recording from two locations with two recorders, and then I just splice them together. It sounds like we're right next to each other. Our marketplace ministry, Daniel's still going to the stand in the marketplace, giving out free literature. We've met a few believers that way. We've met some people very interested in coming to a church service when that would be available. We hand out tracts. We made a special tract again for Bielavar. Some of you came to Croatia and handed out those tracts with us. This one was especially for Christmas and the New Year, and Daniel has handed out with many others in Croatia about 2,600 tracts in Bielavar, and we've gotten 5 responses so far, desiring a Bible study, a calendar. So we can follow up with those contacts as we've done with people in the past. With our Bible studies, we continue to meet with Vlado and Christina, with Zoltan and Attila, and with Slobodanka and with Stanko, and we see the believers continuing to grow hungry for God's word. Some of them have been in the Lord for 6 years and they just started reading the Bible daily. So we're really praying for their growth in Christ. We also make special visits to other churches to try and encourage what others are doing. This is more contact I've had with believers today than I've probably had since summer. So to be with other believers is very sweet. And Daniel, for New Year's, was with a church called Machkovitz. He had the opportunity that night, around 3 or 4 in the morning, to talk with a couple of teenagers who were very doubting about faith, and they both put their trust in Christ. So it was a good New Year. One was very set on just being good for the Lord, his traditional ways, and earning favor with God, and the other just wanting to wait till later, just putting off that day of salvation. Young people, all of you here today, do not put off that day of salvation. There's nothing miraculous about the faith that you need in Christ. It's simply that you know what is the truth and believe and repent, just as 2 Corinthians 6:2 says. At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Just want to say we love you. We look forward to spending time with many of you as we're able to. And please continue to pray for Daniel as he serves in Bielavar, and his wife Kika and their baby on the way due this spring. Please continue to pray for Christine as we don't know what energy level she'll have each day. But we trust that the Lord has a purpose for this time. And God bless you.
Thanks, Kurt. Oh, we're grateful to have you back for a while with us, and Christine, you as well. So we'll be praying for you. Last thing here is we have a 10-minute video. We're supporting a new missionary family in Finland, Miska and Allison Wilhelmsen. And they put together a video for us just to introduce themselves to you, to our church family. And so we're going to show that to you. When that's done, we'll pray and have some lunch together. So this is Miska Wilhelmsen and his wife, Allison.
Hello, everyone at Maranatha Bible Church. We are the Wilhelmsen family here in Tampere, Finland. And my name is Miska, and this is my wife.
My name is Allison.
And these are our 4 boys. With the oldest one, what's your name?
I'm 5 and I'm the oldest.
Okay, he's the oldest. Then there is, what's your name?
I'm going to be 4 soon.
You're going to be 4 soon. And what's your name? Say it so they can hear it. He's shy of the camera, apparently. His name is Simeon. And then we have Zacharias here. And then we have little Elijah, who is a little bit crying. He wants some milk soon. But he's just 7 weeks old.
Well, it's a little bit difficult to record a video with four energetic little boys, and especially one being a newborn who wants to have milk. So, I'm going to record the rest of the video on my own here in my office. But at least you got to see my wife and the boys in the beginning of this video. So, I serve as a pastor here in Tampere of Grace Baptist Church, Armon Baptisti Seurakunta in Finnish, and I studied at the Master's Seminary there in California. That's where I met Joe Hamlin, one of your pastors there, and Joe and us were neighbors, our families, for I think the last 2 years of my time in seminary. Yeah, so we've been back since graduating from seminary. We've been back just over 3 years now, and the church was founded by an American missionary named Tom Ruhkala, and I'm now the first national pastor of the church, and I'm the only pastor at the moment, only elder. God willing, in the future there will be other elders raised up, but at the moment it's only me. And on Sundays we have two worship services. At 10 o'clock we have an English worship service, and actually before that we have at 9 o'clock we have a children's Sunday school in English, which my wife teaches. And so then we have the Sunday service in English, and then after that we have about from 12 to 1:30 we have just like coffee time, food time, like a fellowship meal for anyone who wants to stay around, and it's a blessed time together. And then at 2 o'clock we have a Finnish-speaking worship service. And at the moment in the English one I'm preaching through Genesis, and in the Finnish one I'm preaching through Ephesians. Also, some other ministries kind of connected to the church and that I'm involved in is we're doing some book publishing ministry. This year we published two books. One, a little book by Thomas Wilcox. It's called Honey from the Christ Rock. It's like a little kind of evangelistic little booklet written by a 16th century particular Baptist. And it's a very, very good little book. And then we published a new translation of Pilgrim's Progress in Finnish. And actually it's the only version available in the Finnish language, like still in print at the moment. So, and that's sold very well, and people are kind of through that book also finding out about other books that we've published. And we have a lot of books that we're gonna publish still, actually one of the things hopefully during next year we'll publish is Fundamentals of the Faith, so from Grace Community Church and Pastor John MacArthur, this kind of Essentials of Christianity workbook. And at the beginning of the year, this coming year 2021, we're also starting a new English-speaking Bible study where we'll be going through Fundamentals of the Faith, and we'll also be doing a Finnish-speaking Bible study. So every other Thursday I'll be teaching either in Finnish or in English, for those who want to be part of that. So those are some of them, and then there's other things I'll also be teaching in the new year. There's a city about just under 2 hours away. And there's a little Bible Institute at the moment, and a church that we've kind of been helping them in some ways there. There's a group of five men who are training for potential future ministry. So I'll be teaching there a class on like Old Testament survey. So I'll be going once a month there for an evening to teach that. But yeah, Joe also asked me if I could share a little bit about my testimony. So I'm not sure how much the time is going, but I'll try and keep the video under 10 minutes. I grew up in Finland, born here, and I did not grow up in a Christian family, although when I was born, I was then, as an infant, sprinkled into the Eastern Orthodox Church. My mom and dad were members of that church here in Finland when I was born, because my dad is very interested into New Age and all kind of mysticism. So that's why they happened to be part of that, even though they were never, truly into that either. Obviously, there's great problems with the whole Eastern Orthodox Church anyway. But some form of Christianity somehow was present in our family, but not a real Christian family. My mom and dad divorced when I was quite young. And I became a Christian when I was about 18. And before that, did a lot of foolish things and lived in the world, so to say. But God, in His kindness and mercy, saved me from my sin, and He gave me an understanding of who He is, that He is a holy God who hates all sin, all unrighteousness, and that I am an unrighteous, I'm a wicked, evil man. There was a period, I can't say specifically one day that everything kind of happened, but it was a period about a few months when different things happened and more got conviction of my sin and need for Christ, and I understood what the gospel message really was. I understood who Christ really was. One of the things that played an important part in that was that on Christian TV in Finland, which I do not recommend watching, it is very similar to what I know in America. Most of stuff on Christian TV is not good to watch. But in God's kindness, still there was, one of the preachers on the TV, a British preacher. He was a little bit better than most things, and it's kind of general good Bible teaching, and that got me really interested in learning about the Bible more and reading the Bible. And God was doing a work in my heart. I was still a member of the Lutheran State Church, because I joined that just to be part of the confirmation camp where all my classmates went when we were about, I was about 15 or so. Most people in Finland are members of the Lutheran State Church. So I was a member of that, but I was not a member of any church. And then when I understood it's important as a Christian to get baptized as a believer, I joined a local Pentecostal church, was baptized there as a believer. Then in God's kindness through the internet, I happened to stumble upon a ministry called Way of the Master, Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron, and from them learning more about the gospel and how to share it with others. And from them I heard about John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, John Piper, Paul Washer, these kind of guys, and that really changed my Christian life. And I got really excited and learning more, they really teach the Bible. And specifically MacArthur, I started listening to more and more and started getting some books even, and before I became Christian, I didn't really read any books. So it's a testimony to God's saving grace that He takes a person like me and changes me completely, and even has given me the ability to even understand and to read, which I never used to do much at all. Than to even go in a seminary in a different country. I still am amazed when I think about that. So I started listening to these very faithful, good Bible teachers in America. Fast forward then I started wondering, is there a church like this in Finland? Where can I find one? So I found a church in about 3 hours away, a different city, visited it a few times, then decided I'll move there. I'll move there to be part of the church. And that church was the church that I'm now pastoring myself. So I joined a church that was about, I guess, 12 years ago or so. Been a member of that church since. Then eventually met my wife. She came from England as an exchange student and came to a church, met her there. We got married in Wales, lived in Wales for 2 years. Then, as I mentioned earlier, I've taken this video so many times, so I don't know what I mentioned. But I then studied in Los Angeles for 3 years. So with my wife, we moved to Los Angeles, and we had two of our first boys were born there. Now being back in Finland for over 3 years. That's in a nutshell my history and a little bit about our ministry here in Finland. It is a great encouragement and a great blessing to have people across on the other side of the globe who pray for us and who support us. And we're very thankful for all of you there at Maranatha Bible Church. Obviously, I haven't met most of you. Most of you haven't met me. But it is a great encouragement to know that God has his people all over the globe and that there's specific people in a specific church as yours who pray for us and care for us. And so may God continue to bless you in your faithful work there in Michigan. And by the way, I've heard that Michigan has the highest population of Finnish people in all of America. So, you know, that's good. maybe God willing, in the future, one day I can visit Michigan. It would be great. May God continue to bless you. And we thank you for your prayers and your support. God bless you. Bye-bye.
He's got that awesome beard. As I said last week, you don't need to be you have a beard to be a real man. So anyway, that's a side note. It's a privilege to serve with them, partner with them, and what a privilege it is to support them. So pray for them, please. In our interview with him a couple months ago, we asked how many churches in Finland are really solid, and he said 4. He's pastoring one of the 4 churches in Finland that's actually a solid church. So great opportunity to really partner with them. So I think that's it. If you have any questions for us, the elders will be around. Come find us. Come ask any questions.
You've been listening to a presentation from Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan. No part of this recording may be edited or distributed without prior written consent. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.